First of all, could you just describe the main problems, the main issues with warfarin that make it such an important thing to have alternatives for many patients?
Right. Good. Okay. I think since I do anticoagulation for a living, as part of our vascular center, we have an anticoagulation program within the center. We use warfarin, of course, as our primary agent. What we find is in warfarin, it's the frequency of monitoring of the medication. And so most of our patients, a good percentage of them, about 70%, get once a month blood draws. But then about the other 30% in the practice tend to have more frequent draws, maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks. And these are the patients that are a little more challenging to manage. They may not follow a good diet. They may take medicines that interfere with warfarin. They don't let us know that. And so one challenge with warfarin is the need to monitor the drug, to keep it into the drug into therapeutic range so that you get the maximum benefit of the drug without the least amount of bleeding. You know, so So that's the key for us. That's the first one. Secondly, with warfarin is there's the drug interactions with warfarin. And then the third piece is the food interactions with warfarin. So those are like the big three that if you look from a patient standpoint, you say, I really don't like the idea of monitoring, having this blood drawn all the time to adjust the drug. Number two, I don't like the fact that I have to limit my diet with respect to vitamin K-rich foods. And then thirdly, I'm really not sure what drugs interact with Coumadin, and therefore I might get prescribed a drug, and we try to educate the patient to say, call us if you take a new drug so that we can help you with that.
And Thomas Jefferson, has Pradaxa been introduced to the formulary yet?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We put Pradaxa in the formulary in January of 2011. And we put it on the formulary and restricted the use of the drug because our concern was that clinicians may use the drug for off-label indications and not for atrial fibrillation as approved by the FDA. So we restricted the drug to cardiologists, hematologists, and our vascular anticoagulation service. So if anyone wants to use the drug, they have to get a consult from either discipline to advise them on the appropriate patient selection and use of the medication. The thing that worries me most, Tom, about these new agents is there are no reversing drugs for these new medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Like Coumadin, we have vitamin K. Warfarin, we have vitamin K. And if you're actually bleeding, we give you fresh frozen plasma. We give you back the factors. These new drugs don't have any antidotes, which takes me, Tom, to the next step, which is we don't have a specific test to tell how thin your blood is with these new agents.
Mm-hmm.
So the companies that make them tell us that in case of Pradaxa, you can use the PTT, the partial thromboplastin time, as a measure of the degree of anticoagulation. But in the studies, there was no correlation to say if my blood was thin to, 92 seconds, that meant I had a certain level of Pradaxa in my system. So they weren't able to do that. But they tell us that the PTT would be a reasonable test to evaluate this patient group because you have the test. Now, in reality, the Ekrin bleeding time is a test that's recommended, but that test is not available even at our hospital in Philadelphia.
Based on the literature that's out so far, what are your thoughts about Xarelto and apixaban as well?
I think that these three drugs are going to be really competitive, and I think the challenge will be is which one will we use. Mm-hmm. At the hospital, because as you look at the studies, rivaroxaban is very effective in orthopedic surgery, but there's an increased incidence of bleeding, but a great outcome in reducing DVT. apixaban, and of course dabigatran have been shown to be effective. They're not inferior to the standard of care, which is Lovenox, enoxaparin in the orthopedic study. Now, in atrial fib, these drugs are really very, very good in atrial fib. The outcomes are really good. The RELY study, which is the dabigatran study that got it approved, is a very good study using using dabigatran Pradaxa.
So what about cost considerations? What about prescribing to someone who may not end up getting the drug and keep staying on it once they're out?
So I think the hospital administration, when we put the drug on formulary, they restricted the drug's use, of course. So we looked at it and said, okay, what's it going to cost us to use Pradaxa during the hospital stay? And so say you come in with atrial fibrillation, and we put you on anticoagulation, put you on a heparin drip, and then we convert you to warfarin, or we put you on a low molecular weight heparin, convert you to warfarin. So what we're looking at is, gee, maybe we can shorten the hospital stay if we put you on Pradaxa. You know, 150 milligrams twice a day. We don't have to do any of that warfarin stuff. We do the education. We get you out of the hospital 1 or 2 days earlier. So we actually may save money with respect to getting patients out earlier that normally would have had stayed in.
Etc. What do you think the continued role of warfarin will be even after all these three drugs come to market on whatever indications they might be approved for?
So I think what will happen is I think warfarin will hang around. And the reason I think it will hang around, I think there will be certain areas that won't be tested immediately. And that will be like patients with prosthetic heart valves. That's a hard area to study, and I think we'll see warfarin still used in patients with aortic and mitral valves as part of their prevention for embolization. So I think that we'll see that. And then the next group will be, you know, all these drugs are renally excreted.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, using these drugs in renal failure is problematic. So I think patients who have renal impairment, creatinine clearance less than 30 cc's, Tom, those patients will still probably become Coumadin users.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be populations, pockets of populations that will still use warfarin with. I don't think warfarin will go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.